I'd like to call the committee's attention to something I'm going to share with you, information about the FBI's that's never been made public before.
Operation Arctic Frost has emerged as the chilling embodiment of partisan warfare.
Arctic Frost was the FBI case opened and approved by anti-Trump FBI agent Tebow. Arctic Frost then became Jack Smith's Elector case against then-Citizen Trump and now President Trump. These new records show that Arctic Frost was much broader than just an electoral matter. The case was expanded to Republican organizations.
Thomas Windham and Leanna Saylor, they pushed Arctic Frost forward despite warnings from career agents that this might be illegal. The Biden White House counsel's office even coordinated, and we're going to talk a lot about this because these people belong in jail, even coordinated to hand over Trump and Pence's government phones, bypassing the National Archives and the law.
Launched in the spring of 2022 under the watchful eye of then FBI Director Christopher Wray, this so-called investigation was born from the venomous bias of anti-Trump zealot Timothy Tebow, who bypassed protocols to unleash a probe claiming a multifaceted conspiracy to upend the 2020 election.
The FBI takes allegations of election-related violations of federal law seriously.
That agent, now out of the agency, Timothy Tebow, was reportedly escorted out of the Washington field office on Friday after, quote, resigning from his post.
What started as a targeted hit on Donald Trump quickly ballooned into a full-spectrum assault on the so-called American right.
This was part of an effort by the FBI to go after conservative causes and leaders, including Charlie Kirk at Turning Point, as it turns out, including the RAG of the Republican Attorneys General Association, RGA, sort of the whole of Republican apparatus, the conservative movement. We've never seen anything like this in the history of our country. I don't care if you want to talk about Watergate, whatever you want to talk about. We've never seen anything like this. They were all in on going after their political opponents and throwing them in jail. It's chilling.
All while the Biden regime pretended to champion democracy.
And Jack Smith, not only did they tamper with that and lie to the court about it, but he's now admitted to the court that he doesn't know how that happened. He's only offered a number of possible explanations for how that could have happened. So he's absolutely blown the chain of custody. And again, he has a prosecutor, lead prosecutor in this case, Jay Bratt, who met with White House counsel and a representative of the National Archives in several times in the weeks before Jack Smith was even appointed.
Whistleblowers recently cracked open the vault, revealing how Arctic Frost served as the blueprint for weaponizing federal power against political dissent.
Well, I didn't know there was an actual list. I knew that I'd been targeted by the Jack Smith team. The search warrant for my phone that was hand-delivered with sex-armed FBI agents who detained not just me but my wife, who refused to show me the warrant before they confiscated my phone, who forced my face to look at the phone so they could open it on facial recognition without ever showing me the warrant. And even after they gave me the warrant after the fact, it did not include the attached affidavit that identified the specificity supposedly required by the Fourth Amendment.
A sprawling dragnet ensnaring 92 Republican entities, from the beating heart of the Republican National Committee to the strategic war chest of the Republican Attorneys General Association, and even the grassroots firebrand that was Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA. Trump political action groups, state-level operatives, and a constellation of right-leaning organizations found themselves subpoenaed, surveilled, and scrutinized. And not for crimes, but for the sin of opposing the swamp's anointed mad king, Joe Biden.
American democracy only works only if we choose to respect the rule of law and the institutions that were set up in this chamber behind me.
A surge of totalitarian lunacy poisoning the republic.
I like my coffee dark.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, canceling time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Join Harrison Smith in the War Room, the council chamber for the discussions that define our time.
Say live and let die.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. What an appropriate liner for this segment, because this really is a story that defines our time. My guest is Lisa Logan. You can find her latest work, How Brainwashing Tactics, Rejected by Chief CIA Psychologists, Ended Up in Public Schools as Social Emotional Learning. That's at Infowars.com. She, of course, has been exposing social emotional learning for a very long time. And I encourage you to go to her YouTube channel, Parents of Patriots 6581. That's Parents of Patriots 6581. Or find her on X at I Am Lisa Logan. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be back on our new show, Harrison.
Yeah, not so early now. Hopefully, you know, maybe it'll be easier to connect with our guest now. But you know, we've had you on a few times, and it's usually about this subject. And your latest article, I think, is perfect for today, for this time period. It's focused a lot on Charlie Kirk, and you ask in the first paragraph, how did Charlie Kirk's alleged shooter, Tyler Robinson, go from a regular kid raised in a conservative home in a red state such as Utah to somebody who rejected their family's values to the point he wanted to silence another person's speech he didn't agree with and is now facing murder charges for killing him so he could speak no more? In a way, it's like, that's the question that I have about America. It's like, how did we go so wrong? How did we go from this conservative, upstanding society to just this seething hatred? And how did it happen so quickly and under our watch? I mean, I think when you talk about Tyler Robinson and the apparent transformation he went through, it's the transformation America has gone through over the last couple decades.
That's so true, Harrison. It's sad how much our children have been poisoned against our own country. And I think, you know, that's kind of when I reflected last week on all the things that were going on. And obviously I feel terrible for Charlie Kirk and his family and the loss that they feel. But I felt also very sad for Tyler Robinson's parents who thought that, hey, you know, we're raising this kid. He's in a conservative home. We love America. And to have him turn his back on all of the things that they taught him as he grew up in their home to, you know, joining furry culture and, you know, wanting to, you know, viewing Charlie Kirk's speech as violence, so much so that, you know, he had to stop it. And it's incredible that we're here. But I think that the article that I wrote for InfoWars kind of tells the story of how are our youth being poisoned against this beautiful nation and our values.
Yeah, and the title of the article is really striking to me because it mentions that this type of brainwashing that's now being deployed as social emotional learning was rejected by Chief CIA Psychologist. Why did he reject this? I mean, what's this about? So from what I interpret from that, and of course, I've read the article, so I know, but it's like, okay, this was too intense for the CIA. This was too much for the CIA mind control people. So they repackaged it and are now doing it to our children. I mean, explain what you're talking about here.
Right. So in the very beginning of the article, I mentioned a 1976 memorandum, and this was the chief psychologist in the medical division of the CIA. And he's basically saying, I know that at the time in the 70s, it was very popular to do these weird group experiences. So they were called T groups or sensitivity training. kind of spun out into things called encounter groups. It was really popular for people to spend a weekend at the retreat center, Esalen in Big Sur, and, you know, do these weird exercises with people and supposedly discover themselves and have this big moment of personal transformation. But so that was probably why he was asked to decide whether or not this is something they wanted to bring into the CIA. Now, what I find incredible is that you're right. The CIA, who was known for like MK Ultra and all sorts of things, was like, no, this is just too intense for us. And actually decided to say, you know, hey, I don't recommend you bringing this into the agency, because, you know, what these groups and the experiences around it do actually, they help suspend individual judgment. So, you know, obviously they didn't want their intelligence officers to be brainwashed, right. Which is essentially what they were saying, and actually compares it to brainwashing that's happening in China. And there was even a congressional hearing, and I note that in my article, that happened in 1969 about the harms happening through these T groups. These were quite popular in something called the National Training Laboratories, and they were training facilitators to lead people through these group experiences. And what they were finding is that people would experience these T groups and then go commit suicide.
Wow.
They would have a mental break. And the reason being is that they were literally trying to fundamentally transform who these people were. We come into this world, again, we're raised with the values that our parents instill in us, and we have a certain worldview. And what was happening was they wanted to change this worldview. And so they would do this method called, Kurt Lewin's change model. So this whole idea is that you would think of an ice cube. You would unfreeze your identity, right, and your fixed worldview, and now you're water. Now you can fit any container that it's put in, right? And then you refreeze that, and now you have a different shaped ice cube, in a sense, right? So really what they were doing is that they weren't very good at refreezing people. And so they would be left in this very uncomfortable psychological state of cognitive dissonance. And when that happens, you can literally have a mental breakdown. And so it's very traumatizing. And then on top of that, the way that they would unfreeze was they would have people share very personal experiences about themselves and leave them very, very vulnerable. And so really what we're seeing happen is that this got challenged and then rebrought into our society through social emotional learning in the 90s and put in education. And you'd think how unconscionable it is that something that they were questioning because it was very much harming people ended up in our schools with our children in America.
But gee, it certainly makes a lot of sense. It tracks with what we know. So here's the Lewin's change model: unfreezing, changing, refreezing. Solidify the change as new norm by reinforcing it, embedding it into the overall culture. I mean, there's so many aspects to this that remind me, the phrase I like is, you know, like fractal conspiracy, how it's the same methods that can be used in small groups or even on individuals that then can be applied to entire nations. And even the word brainwashing, we think of brainwashing as being convinced of something, but if you just look at the word, it's stripping personality. It's washing the brain. Then after that, you go in and implant what you want. But brainwashing was the term that they used when they were talking about some of this stuff was developed in the Soviet Union, and our people found out about it from there, and they came up with it and said, well, they wash people's brains. It's like you take somebody's brain, you rinse it off so they don't, you know, their personality is stripped, and then you fill it up with what you want it to be. And this, you know, relates to the Jonestown cult, and they were doing a bunch of these experiments. There was a lot of this stuff going on in San Francisco and California throughout the 60s. And it says in this article, it destroys objective individual judgment. You mentioned that, how the CIA was like, well, we don't want to destroy the judgment of our agents, so we're not going to do this. But what does that really mean? I mean, individual judgment or objective judgment. I can understand how you can sort of strip somebody of the individual, but how do you strip them of objectiveness? Like that seems like a whole nother level to me.
Right. Well, Lewin's model really studied the effects of what he called field theory, right? The idea that you're an individual and you're kind of, you're you're subjected to the fields around you. And the field of the group experience would basically put pressure on you to change. And so your objective judgment of what was reality was then influenced by the people around you. And so this you see this happen all the time, right? Because social emotional learning isn't the only way these T groups and sensitivity groups continued. They actually are in DEI trainings. They're in facilitated groups where they use these Delphi techniques, right? Where they do, you know, you have all these sticky notes and you put them on the wall and you think that you have a say in the thing, but they're really steering the meeting a certain way. And so they're using all of these kind of like crowd agitator techniques and group trauma bonding techniques. And what that does is it does strip your defenses of what you think is your true mindset. And you're then influenced by things around you.
Yeah. And again, it's what cults do to their members. And so how did it make the transformation into social emotional learning? Because again, I think this is important, especially as we find out more about the suspect in the Charlie Kirk shooting and his association, not just with transgenderism, but like this furry culture that is truly sickening and bizarre. If you've ever looked into it, I mean, it's really like gross in ways that are hard to even express. And so I want to get to that and sort of how we've just been dislocated and the availability of like pornography and what that's doing to people's minds. But how do these T groups, how do they translate into social emotional learning? What's the bridge between these two things?
Well, it's really a guy named Daniel Goleman. So a lot of times in these national training laboratories, they would bring in graduate students in psychology and other fields into use the research that was coming out of the national training laboratories and write these papers for them. And in 1976, I believe Goleman wrote about T groups and goal setting. Now SEL has transformed. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But one of the original intents of the social emotional learning practice was to help children develop positive goals, which sounds amazing, right? It sounds fantastic. I want to have children. I'm going to have my child have amazing goals and set them and feel confident enough to achieve them. But what it's now turned into is a thing called transformative SEL. And this very much uses, and I talk about this in the article as well, Robert Lifton's 8 criteria for thought reform. And that thought reform model is how he studied people who were POWs in the Korean War. He studied people who had come back from China from the universities and had been brainwashed. And he came up with this criteria of how you control someone's thoughts and behaviors. And so, basically social emotional learning does that now in these transformative SEL sessions, and which are really just DEI for kids. They break them down. They make them confess their white privilege and their white supremacy. And then they say, hey, now you can redeem yourself. You can rephrase by becoming an ally, an advocate. And so along with that, they have them say, oh, in order to be empathetic to these people who you are in these sessions with, who may be historically marginalized or maybe believe that they're a girl when they're really a boy, you have to use their pronouns. You have to believe they're a furry. You have to affirm their identity. And so this is really how it's going down in the schools. And even if they don't teach this in schools, right, school is just doing regular old SEL. These group experiences and just the fact that they are unfreezing and questioning those core values that you're raised with, it still has the same effects. And so if your child leaves school and has cognitive dissonance, right, they've been told, hey, maybe your parents' worldview isn't correct. Maybe they lied to you. And now they're subjected to some furry culture online. They're going to be that much more vulnerable to adopting this collective worldview because now they're questioning everything. And so Tyler Robinson, unfortunately, right, even though he was raised in a conservative home, he fell prey to these types of ideologies, probably both through his association at the University of Utah and other college classes, because unfortunately that's a thing. They're teaching critical theories in college and elsewhere. And then, of course, this furry culture that he fell to.
Yeah, we'll get into that. It's all just incredibly bizarre. Here's how you put it in the article. It leaves the gutted psyches of kids like Robinson, whose foundational values they had been fractured with distrust, vulnerable to be brainwashed by collectivist theories or ideologies. It opens the door for critical race and queer theories, climate change, furry culture, literally anything they're exposed to take root, whether that be through school, social media platforms, or chat rooms. And there's so many instances, I've already mentioned a few, like it reminds me of Jonestown. They would do these brainwashing techniques, really fascinating stuff with the human psychology where, you know, when the cult would beat somebody, it would make that person more loyal to the cult. It's not what you would expect, but you can see that manifest in like on the left. They don't necessarily attack people outside of their group nearly as much as they'll attack people inside their group who show the slightest bit of doubt. And it's just, again, classic tackle. Same thing happens with abusive relationships. They'll actually get closer to the abuser, you know, despite the fact that they're hurting them. So many, the Milgram, I think, is it the Milgram experiment that is very similar to what you're describing, where only one person out of this big group of people, only one person is really, you know, ignorant to what's going on. They'll show a picture of like a triangle and everybody goes around and goes, that's a square, that's a square, that's a square. And when it gets to the person who doesn't know what's going on, they also say it's a square just because they don't want to be the crazy one that thinks it's a triangle. The psychological levers being pulled are very basic, very simple, but very devastating. And the last thing it sort of reminds me of is the experiments that Alex always talks about, the Kindler experiments in Germany, where they would put children with pedophiles on purpose. And the reason why, if you look into that experiment, because it makes no sense. It's like, well, the German state took kids and gave them specifically to pedophiles, like, so they could have sex. Like, it just makes no sense. But when you look into it, the guy who did it was, his dad was a Nazi. He hated his dad. And he was like, you know, fascism has to do with sexual purity. So we'll target that first and we'll destroy sexual purity. But it's about just going to the basic foundational morality and completely uprooting it and destroying it and making somebody a blank slate. I don't know if my sort of, you know, train of thought, it makes sense to you, but it seems like all of these things are all going after the same concept, is you just unroot somebody, you rip them out of their place in time and their family, their culture, you rip them out and just have a blank slate. And what's being fed into that blank slate is just bizarre. It's just, and it has a lot to do with sexuality. Why is sexuality such an important force in all this? That's right. It's the Ash conformity experiments are the ones I'm talking about, not the Milgram, although that's another similar, something in a similar vein about causing somebody pain if you think a scientist is telling you to do it. What is it about sex that is forms such a central role in all of these brainwashing tactics?
Well, I think because a lot of them are rooted in Gnostic and Hermetic ideas, right? So I think we've talked about this before. I mean, a lot of this is also very spiritual. And so then the Hermetic, there's a Hermetic law of gender that really literally believes you have two genders trapped in your brain, and your physical body is just an expression of one of those. And so I think a lot of that has to do with the fundamental occult underpinnings of all of this.
Yeah. And, you know, we're sort of seeing that manifest because it can't be a coincidence. I actually have a story from today from the Daily Wire. Attempted Kavanaugh assassin now identifies as a transgender woman, legal filing show. So it's like there's this weird phenomenon of transgenders being super violent these days. Then you've got this furry thing on top of it. Alleged Charlie Kirk assassin Tyler Robinson played 50 furry Shades of Grey porn video games online. And I saw somebody post, I think it may have been Martyr Maid earlier, where he was talking about, you know, when I was growing up, and this is true for me, you know, in the 90s, pornography was something that only adults had access to, and you had to go to some creepy shop at the edge of town, or you had to get a magazine delivered, and it was totally inaccessible for the most part to children. And now kids are growing up seeing this stuff from a very early age. I don't think parents are even aware of exactly how, you know, prevalent this type of stuff is, and we're just unprepared for this. I mean, I don't think humanity was ready to, you know, have access to this type of material in like two decades. Do we even understand how much this has changed the way like people's minds are developing growing up?
I don't think so. Like you said, it was not, you know, when we were kids, we didn't have access to this kind of stuff. It's literally at their fingertips. You know, they can search something wrong on Google and all of a sudden you're down a rabbit hole of crazy images on there. And And all it takes is really one exposure, right? And then the shock, and really, and that's actually, so the same kind of stuff was happening in the governor's schools, right? Where you had kids come out of there and commit suicide and stuff. It's because they were showing them very shocking material, like Harvey Milk documentaries and right. stuff from the Holocaust. And really it's like shocking the system. The same way I feel like Charlie Kirk's murder. And then prior to that, the very day before, we see that horrific imagery of that Ukrainian girl getting slaughtered. And really the imagery and all the blood, and it's really traumatizing to us. It does something to our brains. And I feel like it's also pushing us into, and I feel like these whole situations, I feel like there are entities trying to push us into a civil war in our country and make us angry at each other, when really we should be angry at the people actually doing it.
Right. And the people actually doing it. And I noticed this, and I've said it over and over. The first people I saw celebrating Charlie Kirk's murder, they were like all university teachers. They were all teachers of some sort. They're all involved in education, or they were nurses. And it's like, what is it about the prevalence? Why is the prevalence of this mindset, in school so high? The last things, we're running out of time, and I wish we had more time, but we have a pre-recorded interview we're going to go to after you, but we're going to have you on again soon. And I just encourage people to go follow Lisa Logan at I Am Lisa Logan on X, Parents of Patriots 6581. Also, search her name on Bandai Video and look at our older interviews where we get into all the occult stuff. We get into the Feltzer Institute and how all this stuff is literally from demons. I mean, it is crazy. Corresponds with what we were talking about with Alex Newman yesterday. But you say in this article, the chief CIA psychologist notes in his 1974 memorandum that a majority of participants in these group sessions emerged with a conviction they'd benefited in some way. I think that's really important. People would come out of these brainwashing sessions loving it and feeling like they had been improved somehow. How important is that, in how effective this method is?
Well, again, you feel like you have some kind of personal transformation. I think anytime you're exposed to something new, you think it's shiny, right? And great. But really these people, some of them, over time the effects would wear off, right? Hey, you had this great group experience, but you realize it was very temporary, and now you're left alone, and now you're vulnerable because you've shared a bunch of stuff about yourself that now a bunch of strangers know. And I think that really was why a lot of people had these breakdowns as well. But I do, before we go, Harrison, I do want to talk a little bit, if we have some time, about what I think actually is going on here. I find it interesting that Ermia, the leader of the queer, armed queer SLC movement, was a coder for the Dignity Index. Now, it's interesting. The Dignity Index is being pushed heavily after this assassination. 2 days after, they came out with a toolkit. They had a whole website called turningtoward.us, which is a play on Turning Point, of course, right?
Right.
Well, you and I had talked about in 2022, Biden had that United We Stand summit, right? He came out with an initiative, dignity.us, which was the website. That website is now the Dignity Index. This is the same Biden administration whose FBI was targeting Charlie Kirk's Turning Point organization. So when I say the Dignity Index, Charlie Kirk would hate it. It is a scoring mechanism for speech, and they are training AI to score political and your chat speech, right? They're going to send you in a chat room with an AI bot.
I'm so sorry, Lisa. We're coming up to a break, and we have to go. But I know we talked about that a lot in our last interview. So if you want more on that, of course, follow Lisa Logan at I Am Lisa Logan, Parents of Patriots 6581. But also check out the last interview we did on American Journal Bandai Video. Lisa, thank you so much for.
Let me tell you about this. Our sponsor, Bigly, and the products they have at theelectionstore.com are whatever the highest source, best quality, highest rated products are, we go out and private label them, and in some cases, soup them up and make them even better. So we did a year ago a survey, what do listeners want? And you wanted methylene blue, you wanted beef tallow that Kennedy talks about, which I know is great for cooking and is so much better for you than seed oils, and you wanted high-quality Shilajit. He brought you all the best. They've sourced the best. This is so heavy. This is so huge. Tiny little scoop of this with whatever you're cooking. makes it taste so great, whether it's potatoes, whether it's eggs, whatever you're cooking. Beef tallow is so delicious. It's just concentrated beef tallow, private label from the top ones in the country. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients. Unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage, beef tallow is real food that promotes whole body health. Get 25% off now when you become a subscriber today, and then lock in a bigger discount. You can cancel anytime for free at alexjonesstore.com. Beef tallow has been all the rage. It's what the listeners asked for. We've got the best for you right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And separately, creatine of the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligram gummies, huge container of them. Look into neurological studies, Alzheimer's, you name it. It's so good for young people, old people. Everybody needs it. Got it, 2 flavors, thealexjonesstore.com. And it's your funding this operation that makes it all possible. I need your support. I am funded by you. I am supported by you. And I'm battling the Democrat Party law firms that have been trying to shut us down, and we've been winning thanks to your support. But it takes money to fight this war. So don't wait. Get our creatine gummies. Get the new incredible beef tallow. Just as amazing or more is the bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks from cow's milk is the ultimate combo of super nutrients. You name it, for your immune system, your clarity, your focus, your hair, your skin, your nails. It's crazy. These are the best products. These are amazing. They will change your life. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And if you're going to buy anything there, become a VIP. $30 a month. Cancel anytime for free. The minute you become a VIP in your profile, you get $40 to spend instantly, making $10. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com, become a VIP. Cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for standing with us. We'll never back down, never give in, but we could give out without your support. So you are the reason we're still here, and I thank you and salute you for it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome to TheAlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Power up today.
Force filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Quit my day job as a white coat. I'm so done with all that shit. Packed everything that I own. This farm and game just makes me sick. I just wanna buy a house and live in peace and get my bag. But the world's gone fully crazy. Was this all part of the plan?
That is the latest song by IMA. It's a song called Everything Is Fine. IMA is, of course, an artist that went totally viral last year when she got fired by her company for some lyrics that weren't exactly in line with their message, because she told the truth about things like the COVID pandemic that we went through. That was, of course, called Karmageddon. It blew up across the internet. It was absolutely amazing. Since then, she's been working her butt off, making more music. You can follow her on X at IMA Music, the website IMA.com, and her YouTube is Aya Mayhem. And welcome to the show, Aya, once again.
Hi. So good to be back.
Great to have you back all the way from Australia. I'm not even sure what time it is right there. How have things been going for you? Last we talked, you just released Carmageddon, and you'd sort of taken this big leap into being, you know, publicly associated with some of these kind of fringe ideas, like the COVID pandemic was a big crock of crap. How have you been since we last talked?
Yeah, I've been good. I've been working on a bunch of new music. It's been a wild time. It's definitely set my career into an interesting path, and I have no regrets. And I feel like intuitively I've made the right decision. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. All the ups and downs.
Well, I'd agree. I think you made the right choice. After all, you'd have to sell your soul to be in the mainstream, and we're way cooler, and you can actually be more successful as an independent. So, you know, I think you've got such a good start, and the music that you make is genuinely good and entertaining, and the message is good on top of it. But one thing that I don't think a lot of people know about you, I didn't know about you last time we talked, is that you're a full-fledged medical doctor, and you're actually working on the front line during COVID. Is that right? And are you still doing that? Do you still have a foot in the medical industry?
Yeah, I do. So I do it part-time, and it funds a lot of my music, because music doesn't make me a heap of money yet. But it is my passion project for sure. So yeah, I'm still working part-time, and I'm obviously music is my main baby. And I did work in the ER and on the front line during COVID. That was an interesting time, and I saw things that gave me a lot of inspiration and perspective, and I feel like I bring that into what I believe in now and what I write in my music.
How so? I mean, obviously with COVID, you were there, you know, seeing it behind the scenes. And that's, to me, it seemed like what mostly Carmageddon was about, although you brought in some other topics. But what is it now that's sort of driving you to keep making music? What's informing your creative pursuits?
Well, I mean, I sing a lot about the current events of the world in my last couple of songs. And that wasn't always what I was doing with music. If you listen to a couple of my songs from a few years ago, they're completely different. But the events of the world really inspired me, and seeking truth myself and singing about it and sharing with others is now really important to me, because I feel like we're in a pressing time where the truth is being buried, and it's often hard to identify. And I want to be able to sing about difficult things, challenges, as well as beautiful things, in a creative way that can make it more digestible for people and help others to feel less alone. And a lot of that inspired Carmageddon, and then my second song, Everything's Fine. And I've got an album on the way that I've been working on, and not all of it is about the news. Other things inspire me as well, like the human experience and pain and loss and beauty and love. So we'll see.
Well, it's such an important role musicians play. I mean, I know it sounds cheesy, but I was, you know, I was just interviewing a comedian, and it's like, it's a difficult role to play these days. Everything is so tense. Everything is so sort of intense as well. And, you know, it's hard to make beautiful music out of that, or it's hard to make people laugh about these topics. When you write a song about a current event, are you trying to express how you feel about it? Are you trying to give people hope about it? I mean, how do you approach this? How do you see your music working to help people deal with things? Is it just letting other people know that there's other people like them, they're not alone, like you just said? Or are you able to like put it in a new frame by encapsulating it in a song? What's your process when you see a current event, turning that into a song, turning your inspiration into a song? What is the process there?
Yeah. Well, the purpose of Carmageddon was to start conversations and try and promote dialogue and try and highlight a lot of things that were going on, and in a neutral way. Like, I don't want to pick a left or a right side. I don't want to contribute to this division that's just going on and it's crazy in the world still. It's just to bring to light these issues and give a space to talk about it. And I mean, there's more and more artists talking about it and singing about it, which is really awesome and really important. But if I feel something that's close to my heart that I want to share, then I'll put it in a song. And I really hate injustices, and I really want to bring to light a lot of truth. I mean, yeah, I've spent the last 6 years, you know, just working and being surrounded by crazy stuff, as so many of us have. And I feel like I can use my gift from God to deliver this info and just talk about this info even. And it's not in an attacking way. Like, I don't feel like I'm a raging person. I actually am a really hopeful, easygoing person.
Right.
And that's just what I do with my art. Like, I have no beef with anyone who rages, for sure. Like, there's a time and place for that. But if there's something on my heart or my mind and I want to speak about it, then I feel like I have this beautiful platform and ability with music to do that. So I will, for as long as I feel inspired or for as long as I feel there is a need in the world.
Yeah, and I mean, from your lyrics and just from what I know about you, I don't know if I'd call you right wing even. I mean, your background, how you grew up is super interesting. We talked about that last time. If people want to find out, they can go watch the old interview. But like, you don't strike me as a right-wing person, but you've got the poster of John Lennon behind you. Music has this protest element to it that's so powerful. And it seems like now everything coming out of the mainstream, everything coming out of the establishment's telling one story. And if you're telling the other one, you just sort of get stuck over here with us dissidents. But it's because that's the real art. I mean, it's not prepackaged. It's not given to you by a corporation. It's speaking out against injustice, as you point out. I mean, do you even consider yourself right wing, or how would you feel about having that label put on you?
Yeah, no, I don't subscribe to labels, and I live in Australia, so we don't really have the right and left as much as you guys do. And I mean, I don't care if it's left or right wing. To me, it's whatever is for humanity and for truth to me. And if that puts me in a right wing or left wing box, according to some people, then whatever. Like, I know that some things I say perhaps is right wing and some is left. So I'm just like, well, I guess I'm in the middle.
Right.
I'm just trying to bring truth and light to this, all this crap that's going on in the world. And I don't care if I'm, you know, I don't feel like I'm in either of the one or the other. And I don't actually like the division that all of it is causing between us.
Right. No, I don't think you have to be in one of these groups. And, we don't necessarily, neatly fit into one of these groups either. I don't know if anybody does. But again, your music is a form of protest. And it seems like now all of the good protest music, all of the really powerful art is coming from whatever you want to call this, the right wing, the dissident side of things, the truth tellers. I mean, I follow you on X. I know you like retweet people like Russell Brand. This is another character that you would never expect him to be on the side of Alex Jones and the right wing. He was this hippy dippy kind of flowery guy, but something's happened over the last decade or so where if you are a free thinker at all, you're getting shoved out of the mainstream and you're being forced to the fringes and you're sort of looking around for allies, and we're all coming together and just trying to tell the truth, even if we approach it from a different perspective. Have you been surprised about who resonates with your music, or have you gotten any reactions that really shocked you to the things that you say?
I think, yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of messages, and this is something that's really meaningful to me as an artist, just thousands of messages from people reaching out just to say thank you for giving them a voice and helping them feel seen.
Right.
And I think that is really beautiful. And yeah, I've connected with other artists, creatives, influencers, whatever you want to call them, which is really cool, who I didn't know before. And then I've also lost some of my own friends from my lyrics, which is a real shame. And that was, well, not a huge surprise to me, but when it happens, it's always a shock. But then I've also gained an amazing group of other friends. So it's like, I guess you shed your old ways and your old groups of friends naturally, and you just have to keep following what's right in your heart and your integrity and your intuition, and naturally you'll build that crew up again or lose it again.
Yeah, and it's always so confusing, because I think a lot of us have probably been through that where, it's never us. It's never us like, yeah, screw those people, I don't want to be friends. At least it's not for me. It's like, I would love to still be friends with those people. They think I'm a monster for some reason, even though I believe the same things I do when we were friends. You know, something happened in the world around us that drove us apart. And like, when you listen to your lyrics, like, what do they even have problems with? I mean, how do you deal with that? Because it's like, all I'm saying is, maybe like, don't kill people in Gaza, or like, hey, maybe like we shouldn't hate each other as much. Like, this doesn't seem so, something to lose a friendship over. I mean, do you think it's something in these people? Do you think it's just the media around them and they've been brainwashed? Because again, your lyrics, nobody should hate or get mad at, unless you're an evil person trying to do evil deeds that, you know, IMA is talking about. Then you can hate IMA because you're a bad person and she's a good person. That makes sense. But what is it that drives, you know, friends away from us when all we're doing is trying to tell the truth and love everyone? It's I try to contend with this, and I don't really know what the answer is.
Yeah, and I so agree with that, loving everyone and bringing people together. And that's one of my main goals. I think my lyrics about man-made virus in the chorus. Right. Obviously, I have a lot of friends who are doctors, and some of them confronted me and said, I'm not okay with this, and I actually cut you off the last 6 months or so because I just couldn't really deal with these kinds of lyrics. And I was like, oh, man, that's so sad because you're my brother, you know, you're my sister, right. Like, who cares? Where they're still the same kids from the rainforest in northern Queensland.
Right.
And then I do speak about Gaza and Israel, and that's just such a heated topic, as is COVID. Like, all these things for some reason have caused just such ongoing division.
But it did come from a lab. I mean, the disease did come from a lab. So, I mean, what are you supposed to do, not talk about that?
Yeah, like, I don't understand. There's so much evidence pointing towards that it was all this massive thing created. But anyway.
Well, and so you're still living in Australia. You haven't had any legal repercussions there, have you? I mean, I know it can be a little bit intense in Australia. We've seen, you know, people holding protests and being thrown in jail for it. Have you had any repercussions for some of your lyrics contradicting the mainstream official government narrative?
Well, as you know, I had my management contract withdrawn. And that's why I'm independent, going my own way, and I'm still independent, left my label, left all of that, doing my own thing, self-funding it, all good. And now I'm having my medical license reviewed. That's current thing I'm dealing with because of my lyrics and my lyrics as an artist, as a songwriter, not as a doctor. So that's happening at the moment, and I don't know what will come with that. But I think it would look very bad on them for taking away my license if they do.
So was this like a review that was started because of your lyrics? Isn't it just like a regular, you have to regularly go back and be relicensed? This was something that they started a review because of your lyrics to determine whether to strip you of your medical license?
Yeah, so I'll be fully honest. I don't know what's going to happen or exactly what's happening, where it all came from, but I've been reported, and it's our medical board of Australia, because I said man-made virus, watch the millions die, biggest profit of our lives in my chorus. And I called out the World Health Organization as being a liar in my second verse of my song. So, yeah,
they're saying I can't say that. So they want to strip your medical license from you. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, I'm being reviewed for it, and it's pretty crazy, isn't it? It is crazy. It's crazy because we're in a time of free speech, given all the events that have just happened. It's just like, yeah, it's unreal.
And, you know, to have somebody work so hard, my sister is a doctor, and I know how hard it is to become a doctor, and to strip that away from you, I mean, that's like a worse punishment than, you know, going to jail for, I mean, that's what, 7 years of your life at least you've dedicated to this profession that they're going to potentially kick you out of? I mean, that is a brutal punishment for merely singing what everybody knows to be true. Do you think it's just a pressure campaign? Do you think maybe if you promise not to write those lyrics anymore, they'll stop reviewing you? I mean, what is the danger you pose exactly?
I don't know if it's misinformation or misconduct, but that seems crazy to me because that's my artist world. It's not my doctor world.
Right.
I practice, strong ethics, and I really care about my patients, and I really give a damn. And this is why I do this music, because I actually care about the state of the world and about people and their health and their well-being. So it's like very ironic. And I've had lots of patients tell me that I'm one of their favorite doctors because I like natural health and I like healing, and I want to challenge the narrative in some ways, you know. So I really don't know what will happen, but I faced this in a sense before with losing my management contract for speaking out. So this isn't my first rodeo, you know. I know what this is like in a sense, but it is shocking. And I have worked so hard for my medical license, and I still work as a doctor. So I'm just going to carry on.
Wow. Well, it's just so unfair. And it's just such a, to me, it's just a condemnation of how our whole system operates, how your whole system operates. I mean, it's very much, you know, aligned how this works. But yeah, they don't want. I guess they don't want somebody calling out the profits that Big Pharma makes as a doctor. You're a vector of profit for them, and if you're telling people that, you know, maybe pharmaceutical companies don't have your best interest in mind, I mean, that ain't good. So I guess it makes sense from a purely cynical perspective why they'd want to, I guess, shut you up. But it just genuinely doesn't make any sense, and it's just a reminder of sort of how far we have to go to correct some of this stuff. Is Australia as bad as we think it is? I mean, I have this image of just, you know, back in 2020, the concentration camps Australians were put in for refusing to get the vaccine. And it's kind of scary to me. I'm like, man, I would be getting out of there if I could, so I could actually speak my mind. Do you have any plans to come to America or anything? Or are you sticking it out in Australia there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I love Australia. I'm full-blown Aussie, apart from my mixed heritage. So, yeah, it's been a crazy time, but I think COVID woke a lot of us up, a lot of people up. And, yeah, a lot of states really suffered during that pandemic. But I think now people are really starting to stand up for their rights after all the stuff that's going on. In saying that, though, I love the US, and I started my music journey living in New York.
Right.
So I'm super inspired whenever I go back, and I have lots of mates there still, and I have a trip planned end of this year. I'll be performing with a friend, Ian Carroll.
Oh.
You guys, homies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be cool. So I'll come over, I think, in like a month or two, and I'll probably stay for a while, and I would just love to connect with other artists and work on some collaborations and just meet a bunch of cool people. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Where are you going to be?
Don't know yet. It depends on when I can get there. And also, yeah, because Ian's obviously, some people consider him a controversial character. And so he needs to secure the location and sort all that stuff out. And yeah, I'll have to update you on that, but I'm still waiting.
Well, that's very exciting. So what is the event going to be? Do you know? Because does he play music? He would. I could see that. Is he some sort of musical genius on top of everything else? Ian Carroll. I feel like he's got skills he keeps hidden.
Yeah, he's a legend. I've had lots of chats with him, and he's a cool guy. I don't even know what information I can give away right now, so I don't want to give away too much, but I know that it is his event, and it's going to be awesome, and I'm singing for him, and that's all actually I know, so we'll see.
All right, well, you better let me know, because I want to go to that. That sounds incredibly fun. Ian Carroll, controversial. He's a little bit controversial, but I really don't understand why. I mean, it's like your music. Like, what is controversial about this? It's true.
Exactly.
It's the facts, and clearly the people telling you this have good intentions. Like, no, I don't see how you could watch Ian Carroll or how you could listen to your music and not see that these are people who are at least trying to tell the truth, at least trying to be good people. Whereas everybody else is so fake. The genuineness, I think would convince people that, you know, what you're doing is not some sort of threat to their system, but obviously it is. Well, that's super exciting. And of course, I want to remind people, go to IMA.com, IYAHMAY.com, IMA Music on X, and the YouTube Aya Mayhem is how you can find her stuff and support her, folks. There's no reason why she should have to. If she wants to, she's welcome to be a doctor. But we want IMA focusing full time on music so we can get more, incredible, really monumental, and I think powerful protest songs, because this is something that, like, I play your music for my family. There's not a lot of music I like my family to listen to. Modern music, the lyrics are horrible. Some of the music that I like the lyrics is not actually that good of music. You are able to synthesize both of these things. The music is actually very good, and the message is good. Please go support IMA. And so you're doing that one. Are you going on tour? When's your tour planned? When are you going to fill out stadiums? I think you could do it.
Yeah. Well, I've actually got a new song coming in the next month, in October. And then I've got an album that's just finished, sort of what I've been working on. So I'll drop that as well. And then I'd love to G up some collaborations with other artists. There's some artists I've been really admiring lately. Jesse Wells and Ren. They're such cool guys. What they're singing about, if you guys, yeah, you probably heard of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know when a tour will happen. It's going to happen soon, though. I'm just going to keep getting all the music out.
It should. So when are you expecting your album to be released?
It'll either be this year or early next year, I think.
And so, like I said, I can tell you're focusing on things sort of outside of what Carmageddon was about, even though that had a couple different topics. What's really driving you right now? Like, what are you paying attention to right now? When you get online, what's the post that makes you stop and question what's going on? Because again, I've seen that you're posting some climate change stuff. I mean, you got a lot of lies to choose from being told by the establishment. What's grinding your gears these days?
Well, I'm a really philosophical person, and I love to write about human experience. And sometimes I sing about and write about the news. Other times it's just about the tough things that humans go through in life. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear the background noise, but someone is blowing a leaf blower here. It's really annoying.
Oh, sounds,
sorry about that.
Sounds fine for us. So you don't live in the rainforest anymore?
No, I don't. I live in Sydney, and there's still lots of plants around me, so that's going on.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, but we'll see. Like, I've got songs that are about the news, and I'll be making more for sure. And then I've got songs about life and stuff, so it'll be mixed.
Well, again, it's great music. Even if you don't like the message, which you should, you'll still like the music quite a bit. And you know, when it comes to that, you know, obviously we're still reeling from the death of Charlie Kirk. How's that been received overseas? I haven't even really thought about this till I just asked this question, because in America, it's like the world stopped last Thursday. It's like all we're focusing on. Is it having a similar impact overseas?
Well, it's everywhere online here as well. And yeah, I mean, if you didn't know about Charlie Kirk before, you do now for sure, kind of thing. It's definitely gone global as far as I can tell. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I think that's the exact opposite of what the evildoers wanted by taking him out. They expected him to go away. He's only getting bigger and more powerful. But again, I feel like we're in this sort of like depressed state over here. And I think we need music now. We need comedy now. Even though it almost feels wrong, I think it's kind of what we need right now to re-energize and focus ourselves into what's important. So I'm so happy that you're doing what you're doing, and that we're creating real, like, good content, good art out there that is political, but it's still something that's approachable by everybody. I think that's really a valuable tool in the information war. So I encourage everybody, IMA Music on X, IMA.com, YouTube, IMA Ham. Go watch her, check her out, buy her album when it comes out. Go join the stadium tour whenever that begins. And, of course, join me and them whenever I show up at their show with IMA and Ian Carroll. Sometime later. Wait, when was that? Did you give us a date? You said about a month from now, something like that?
I'm going to let you know. And I'm going to give you free tickets to my shows for sure, man.
Please do. I'd love to join. I had no idea you and Ian were collabing. So I'll have to get in on that somehow. We should make a music video. I think that'd be very fun. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for joining us in this strange time frame right now. It's not always easy scheduling an interview with a 12-hour difference. So thank you for coming on and sharing your stuff. And we look forward to seeing your album out very soon.
No worries. Thank you for your support, Harrison. You're a legend.
Well, thank you very much. Keep up the great work. All right, folks.
All right.
All right. That's going to be about it for us. I will see you guys on Monday morning. Remember to go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Buy some merchandise. Get yourself a supplement. Save the world.
Remember, you fund this operation. I'm very thankful to you, and I'm challenging you, those that have supported, love the products, and those that have never gotten the products, to do your Christmas shopping with us. If you get your orders in by Friday, you're guaranteed to get it way before Christmas anywhere in the United States. Okay, because we ship out like a day after the orders come in, and most of the country gets it in 2 days, the rest three, Hawaii or Alaska, I think it's like four. So get your orders in now. The biggest sale so far, 60% off on the ultramethylene blue, on the Shilajit, on the Irish sea moss, incredible super nutrient compounds that just blow you away. You owe it to yourself to get it. Our information's strong. You know that. The products are just as strong and just as powerful. I'm challenging you to support the broadcast. Those of you that have never gotten a supplement, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Make the decision now. Get our ultramethylene blue. Get our Shilajit. Get our bovine colostrum. It's amazing. Experience it, and you're going to be hooked. And then we can continue on the air in a symbiotic relationship, but I need your help. Give yourself the gift of great health, clarity, and focus, and keeping powerful beacon of truth on the air, a 360 total win-win at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have limited edition fundraiser posters to keep us on the air at InfoWarsStore.com. I can't do this without you. You're not key, you're everything.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.